This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. A German fintech company announced last week that it was missing over $2 billion from its balance sheet. On Monday, its board said that money probably never existed in the first place. At a time when e-commerce is making huge leaps forward, we'll explain how one company may have missed its chance. Our Heard on the Street columnist Stephen Wilmot will join us after these headlines. President Trump signed an order on Monday to temporarily bar people from coming to the U.S. on a slate of employment-based visas. That includes the H-1B visa, which is typically used by highly skilled workers, often in tech or medicine. The administration argues that the new rules will safeguard jobs for unemployed American citizens. Google's U.S. ad revenue may take a hit this year, according to the research firm eMarketer. The losses are in large part due to the travel industry, which has been battered by the pandemic. It's an extremely unusual situation for Google. The company's overall ad revenue has been growing by double digits every year of its two-decade existence, except during the financial crisis of 2008, when it only grew 8%. And Apple's virtual Worldwide Developers Conference kicked off on Monday, beginning a week of product launches and networking events. Our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen logged on to give us the latest updates.
So on the iOS and Mac side, we're seeing a lot more continuity between the design of both of them. So now, you know, using a Mac feels more like using an iPhone. A lot of that sort of like design language is more shared. Messages, which is one of my favorite updates, now has message threading. So you can reply directly to a message and you can also at mention someone or pin your favorite conversations to the top. The home screen now looks completely different for an iPhone anyway. If you've ever used an Android phone or a Windows phone, it'll probably look a little bit familiar in that now all of the apps are auto-organized into folders that are sorted into like the different categories of apps, and there's no longer that mess of pages, so you don't have to like thumb through a bunch of pages to see all of your apps. There's also a pretty significant update to AirPods, which gives it the ability to automatically switch devices. So for example, if you're watching a movie on your computer and someone calls you on your phone, the AirPods will automatically switch from your Mac to your phone and route that audio through your AirPods from your phone instead. And on the Mac side, we're seeing a pretty major update, which is that Apple is now moving to its own chips. And so that means that on the one hand, computers will have better performance and less energy consumption. So that means that laptops will probably see better battery life. But that also means that the Intel-based Macs we're currently using will have to be eventually phased out and ultimately no longer receive updates.
For consumers, most of the news is now over. But for developers, the next few days of the conference will be spent learning how to use all that new software. Up next, an accounting scandal is bringing down a German fintech company, and with it, hopes for a burgeoning European tech scene. We'll tell you all about it after the break. We're going to talk today about a story that's a little bit like a mystery. It's the case of the missing $2 billion. The German fintech company Wirecard was supposed to be a bright spot in European investing, but now they're embroiled in a huge accounting scandal, and it could have major implications for European tech investing in the future. Our Heard on the Street columnist Stephen Wilmot has been looking into this, and he joins us now. Stephen, thanks so much for being here.
Pleasure.
All right. So for listeners who haven't been following along, what exactly is Wirecard and what happened to them?
So Wirecard is a digital payments company. It was exposed to e-commerce, so that made it quite a fashionable stock, along with a few other European fintech companies. If investors wanted to get exposure to the fast-growing e-commerce theme, then one way they could do this was to buy a payments company, a company that facilitates the relationship between the merchant selling the goods and the bank, effectively. And so Wirecard was one of a number of companies that did this, and it grew particularly fast, apparently, in emerging markets. But there were always questions about its growth. There were always rumors that there was something a bit suspect about its too-good-to-be-true growth profile and too-good-to-be-true margins. And these allegations started surfacing in the press too, notably in the Financial Times, beginning of last year. And then in October, there was another load of allegations where effectively whistleblowers dished the dirt on some of its activities in emerging markets in particular. They had this business model where they used third-party business partners in regions where they didn't have a license to operate with Visa and MasterCard, with the kind of card providers themselves. They effectively outsourced the relationship and the licensing to a third party. And most of the allegations have centered on those third-party businesses and whether they're bona fide. These rumors have been going on for literally for years. They've been getting more serious, and it's just been unable to kind of bat them away. And finally, the whole thing crumbled on Thursday. They were due to release annual results for the year 2019, much delayed. Obviously, it's, you know, almost 6 months since the end of the year. All they did was release a couple of lines saying, "We can't find 1.9 billion euros. Which is amazing. And at that point, you know, the stock collapsed. And then Monday morning, they said that the 1.9 billion was probably fictitious, probably didn't exist.
Just to be clear, saying that 1.9 billion euros is missing is already a big deal. I mean, obviously, fraud does happen, but that's a huge, huge fraud if it were. Saying that 1.9 billion euros is just never existed in the first place is crazy. So how is it possible that this happened? Did nobody see this coming?
Well, I mean, lots of short sellers saw it coming. And, you know, those accusations kind of went into the mainstream, particularly in the FT last year. How it happened, we don't yet entirely know, but it looks like effectively that they had these kind of business partners who were posting fake results and they didn't have the controls. We don't know how complicit Wirecard was in this at all.
So I'd like to just talk a little bit about why Wirecard was such a big deal for the tech community, tech investors.
Yeah, this is going to lead to a lot of hand-wringing in Germany in particular, because it was really the star of the German tech scene. Europe doesn't have a lot of tech companies. It has a lot of industrial technology, but not a lot of technology companies that play into the growth of consumer technology. A theme like e-commerce, there aren't that many companies that are kind of geared into that growth story in the way that there are in the US with the Silicon Valley companies. And particularly in Germany, they saw it as the great hope. You know, they have this SAP, big industrial software company, business software company, which is, you know, Europe's biggest technology company, supposedly. But it's a sort of 1990s success story. And this was like the new version for Germany. And the German establishment they actually went to extraordinary lengths to support the story, even as allegations came out last year and the regulator, rather than starting to scrutinize Wirecard, started to scrutinize the short sellers and the FT. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is that because there aren't that many European tech stories like this generally, investors really wanted to believe in it because they didn't have that many options.
So Wirecard was this glimmer of hope for European tech investors. Kind of a bad time to fall apart. We've been talking about e-commerce taking a big leap ahead in the wake of the pandemic. So that said, what's the future hold?
Yeah, people are talking about acceleration in the pandemic and the fact that the lockdowns have pushed more people online, concentrated 2 years worth of growth into 2 months type thing. As a result, the digital payments theme has only got hotter. I mean, it was hot already at the beginning of the year, and it's only got hotter. Obviously, Wirecard is a completely special case, but I think one of the reasons why the fraud went, what looks like a fraud, I should say, went not undetected, but people didn't want to believe in it for so long, and it only collapsed when the company itself said, "We can't find this 1.9 billion in cash." One reason it went along like that for so long was that people really wanted to believe in this e-commerce theme, and all the more in the pandemic. The platform costs, once you've built out your platform and you've got people to adopt it, you can probably roll this technology out reasonably cheaply and make a decent margin by taking a very small cut of each transaction. That's the theory anyway. So it's a very scalable technology, unlike, say, food delivery, which is another kind of sexy subject, but hard to make actually profitable. So payments just had lots going for it and still has lots going for it. it should have been a great time for Wirecard, and it's just such a shame that it turns out that it was, you know, failing miserably to control its own growth.
Well, we're going to watch and see what happens with this story. Our columnist, Stephen Wilmot, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before we go, tech companies and other companies have been announcing sweeping changes in response to the Black Lives Matter protests. We know a lot of our listeners work in tech, so we want to hear how the changes are impacting you. Call us and let us know, has your company addressed the protests? Have they implemented new diversity and inclusion policies? What changes do you still want to see? You can call the number in the description and tell us your stories, and we may include them on the show. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.